The Lord be with you.
Yes.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus came down from the mountain with Peter, James, and John and approached the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. Immediately on seeing him, well, the whole crowd was utterly amazed, and they ran up and they greeted him. And they asked him, he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I have brought to you my son possessed by a mute spirit. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they were unable to do so." Jesus said to them in reply, "O faithless generation, how much longer will I have to be with you? How long will I endure you? Bring him to me." And then they brought the boy to him. And when he saw him, the spirit immediately threw the boy into convulsions. As he fell to the ground, he began to roll around and foam at the mouth. And he questioned his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" He replied, "Since childhood. It has often thrown him into fire and into water to kill him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can, everything is possible to one who has faith." Then the boy's father cried out, "I do believe, help my unbelief." On seeing a crowd rapidly gathering, Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and said to it, "Mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Shouting and throwing the boy into convulsions, it came out. He became like a corpse, which caused many to say, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, raised him, and he stood up. When he entered the house, his disciples asked him in private, "Why we could not drive the spirit out?" He said to them, "This kind can only come out through prayer." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, I was glad that I was at least awake enough that I could read this gospel with some of the tension that's in it. It's a very interesting a concept. I say concept, but a portrait here of Jesus and of the whole question of the spiritual battle that we're in. You know, we have lost, really, I think, an idea that we're in any kind of a battle. That we're all kind of, you know, we're in a time where very often spirituality is kind of presented in a more of a cozy way, that we're supposed to just kind of, you know, feel good about God and kind of feel good about ourselves. And I don't mean that there's not a place for that. But there's also, I think, some sense that we've lost today, that we have lost the sense that we're summoned to a kind of a battle. All the old spiritual manuals had a chapter on spiritual warfare. Unia spiritualis, you know, this idea of going to war, obviously under the Lord's power, with some of the demons that afflict us and afflict others, and that we're in a battle. And it's a battle for our soul, a battle for our mind, and we are sore afflicted, and we, by the power of God, need to begin to enter this battle and experience some victories. First letter of John put it this, he says, "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood." I mean, in other words, the idea here is, you know, not literally that we shed our own blood, but that we're willing to undertake some sense of hardship in our battle against evil in our lives. We just kind of want God to please take it away, and you know, we're sort of sitting passively, kind of waiting. And there is, again, only God can give us the victory. But he does want, he who, as St. Augustine put it, he who made you without you will not save you without you. We're part of this battle. So here we have this battle that's going on. Now, Jesus comes down and immediately there's this commotion. He sees it from a distance. There's kind of a tension. There's animated speaking going on and back and forth. And there are these people, there's this man who basically said, "Look, I brought my son to these guys who claim to be spiritual leaders and followers of this great spiritual guy named Jesus, and they can't help me." Now, that's a good rebuke to many priests today, you know, for us who are priests especially, you know, that you know, how well equipped are we able to help the people of God? Jesus will have to tell his apostles later, you weren't even praying. You weren't even praying. That's why you couldn't drive the demon out. I mean, you know, the idea that somehow, just because they, quote, know about Jesus, or walked around with him a little bit, is enough. I mean, I went to seminary, I studied, you know. But in the end, Jesus said, you got to pray if you want to really help people. You want to really drive demons out of people's lives. You better be men of prayer. You know, that's a pretty strong rebuke. And so the priest, the first priests here are being told by Jesus, you know, if you're not praying, you're not going to help anybody. Wow, you know, and you know, the priests are like everybody else. You know, we struggle to find time to pray. You know, I try to make my holy hour right after Mass here. You know, from about 8 to 9. But you know, there are just times where things come up or what have you. But the point is that I gotta, and I thank God I'm fairly well committed to that time. I'm praying, and that's it. You know, but again, I'm just saying to you, this is a strong rebuke. You know, you weren't even praying. But anyway, see this tension. He comes up and, what are you arguing about with them? Jesus says to his apostles, as though he didn't know. And then the man just interrupts because these guys, these apostles, like, and teacher, I brought you my son who's possessed by a new spirit. And he explains basically what sounds like an epileptic, kind of what we would call today an epileptic demon, you know, type of an epilepsy. And, Jesus, I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they were unable to do so. And listen again, this rebuke that Jesus gives. And he has his apostles firmly in mind here. Faithless generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer do I have to endure you? Wow. Oh, I thought Jesus was just a nice guy. Mr. Rogers, and you see, again, Jesus is waking up some demons in his own apostles. This guy with this boy is not the only one with a demon. These demons have an unfaithful spirit, or an unfaithful demon, a lazy demon. They won't pray. They're just sleeping their way. They're just hanging out with Jesus, but they're not really listening and paying attention. And so Jesus has to rebuke the demon in them. He says, come on. See, Jesus is battling with lots of demons here. This isn't just a question of this boy with a demon. These apostles have demons too, and so does the crowd. Because a lot of the crowd are there to see a spectacle. Hey man, whoa, we're going to see this, you know, demon get it. They don't really care about this boy. They're not really ready to even pray themselves. They're just here to watch a show. And so Jesus is probably also speaking to the crowd, saying, you know, and maybe even to the Father, who, not really in a faithful way, wants his son to be set free, but he just wants to be rid of the trouble. See? Faithless generation. You know, you wouldn't be willing to just see your son through his difficulties and help him carry his cross. Oh, no. No, you just want to be free of it. So there's lots of demons that Jesus is battling with here. You see, they're all surrounding here. Faithless generation, how long do I have to endure you? Bring him to me. Now, the anger in Jesus is, remember, Jesus is doing battle. We expect Jesus to be kind of like he's lying on a pillow. Oh, hey, bring him to me. You know, I mean, Jesus is fighting for us here. You see the idea? And he brought the boy, and again. Now the demon and Jesus immediately begin to battle. The spirit, recognizing Jesus apparently, throws the boy into convulsions, and he goes into an epileptic seizure here, and then he questions his father. How long has this been happening to him? Now it's puzzling that Jesus would ask the Father this question. Why does it matter? Just set him free, Jesus. But again, he's trying to involve the Father in his son's life. I mean, again, how many fathers have this demon of uninvolvement in their children's lives? And so on. And so he's trying to involve the Father in this work. And the Father explains, and we get more information about how awful this demon is. It throws the kid into fire and into water to try to kill him. And so, again, it's a pretty severe demon. And then comes another little battle. But if you can do anything, if you can do anything, he says to Jesus, the Father, please help him. Or it says here, please have compassion on us and help us. Notice again, he's not really even talking about his son. He's talking about us, maybe the family, who are burdened by this troubled son. And again, whoa. You know, he's asking Jesus to have compassion. But in a way, the way he describes it is, I just want to be, and my family wants to be free of this. Now, I understand, we all understand, we all have burdens that we carry regarding our family, and there is a part of us that just wants to be free of it. But in the end, you see again how there's a kind of an egocentric need that the Father's bringing here. I need to be free of this, you see. But Jesus rebukes him again and says, you know, you said if you can do anything, if you can, see? Everything is possible to one who has faith. And so once again, he's saying to this man, I want you to have faith. We're not casting out any demons until you start to get hold of some faith. And at least finally the man then focuses a little bit here on himself in a proper way. And he says, all right, Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Now here is the first honest statement that we can really say, wow, this is the beginning of some healing. Hello? I do have gifts, Lord. But I have real troubles. Help me, see. So I do believe, but help my unbelief. You know, faith isn't just an all or nothing thing. We're all on this kind of growth pattern with our faith. And so the man says something I think very, very powerful for us here. I do believe. Help my unbelief. Now, notice again the progress this man is starting to make. Jesus, in doing battle with the demon in this man, is beginning to surface something in this man who is ready to go to battle himself, who is ready to recognize his own need for greater faith and for Jesus. And so he finally expresses, you see, the first real source for healing in us is admitting that we have a problem. Too many people just walk around saying, well, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Or, I don't have any problem. What do you mean I have a problem? You know, and so there's this kind of attitude. Now, this is a long gospel, so I'm sorry I'm taking so long, but let's just try to bring it through to the conclusion here. It says here again, now Jesus can work with this man. At least he's being honest about his own demon. And we're making some progress there. So Jesus turns to the boy and throws out the demon. See? But then again, the crowd, their lack of faith. So the boy lies still for a moment after this struggle. He's dead, see? You killed him! And so it is that, again, Jesus just ignores them. Takes the boy, stands him up. And notice, took him, it says here, took him by the hand, raised him, and he stood up. So again, there is this great vision. And then finally, he gets back to his apostles. Why couldn't we drive out the demon? You weren't even praying. Okay, we've gone through that. So, wow, lots of battle going on here, right? Now, again, just the big picture, and then we're done. This is spiritual battle. This is part of what it looks like. There's battles on many different fronts going on. There's a struggle. There's the crowd that doesn't believe. There's a father who's kind of egocentric in his struggle, more self-centered and so on. Jesus is trying to get him to care a little bit more about his son, to draw him in. Tell me a little bit more, what has been happening to your son? He's trying to draw him and reconnect him with his son. You've got these unbelieving disciples. You've got a crowd that's looking just for a spectacle and doesn't really have faith, and on and on and on. Battles on lots of different fronts here, right? And Jesus is engaging in it all because Jesus is a man. And I mean that, obviously he's more than a man, he's God, but you see what I'm saying? From the human point of view, Jesus is a man here. He's willing to fight the good fight, see? So, you know, we have this expression that's kind of common today, you got to man up. You got to man up for the thing. And well, that's the vision here. So, this is what we're saying. Spiritual warfare, spiritual battle. Which is an often forgotten concept in many spiritual books you'll buy today. This chapter is strangely missing from many modern reflections on spirituality. So, anyway, well, I'll end there.